I love vehicle maintenance. I really do. It's a great career choice. It's a great way to, it's fulfilling. I mean, you get to fix something, you get to physically touch something, and at the end of the day, you either completely fixed it or you're completely baffled because you're not sure why it's not
Fixed.
why it's not corrected.
Right.
But it's just those puzzles, and that's something that I've always enjoyed.
Welcome back, Black Snakes, for another Black Snake Bite podcast. Your host today, Senior Master Sergeant Leslie Kaiser. And today on air with us, we have two experts in the vehicle maintenance world. I'm really excited today to highlight what they're doing behind the scenes that maybe you guys don't even know about, because I assure you, I did not know. So this interview kind of came about with Colonel Shelton in our Commander podcast series. And I just love she bragged about you guys. She, I don't know if you want to say threw you under the bus, but I asked. And she really highlighted your team. I just wanted to have a conversation on what that looks like to be part of vehicle maintenance. And so without further ado, if you guys will both introduce yourself.
I'm Master Sergeant Wally Bulmara, a.k.a. Wally.
Wally,
I like it. It's easier for people.
Yeah. And you're part of vehicle maintenance.
I am, yes, I am the fleet management analysis. I'm basically a production controller.
You're going to have to explain that to me.
Okay, So I watch the fleet.
Okay.
If we put it in simple words, I watch all the schedule maintenance and the needs, what it needs, and they relay that to the mechanics. I track the utilization, fuel, mileage, and hours for the vehicles that are tracked hourly.
Trying to keep us honest, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, keep track of all of it.
And most importantly, we account for every dime that goes into the vehicle. That's
okay.
Part of it, because that's very detrimental in the life cycle, because a lot of people ask about this, the life cycle of a vehicle. That's one factor that goes into the equation. So
yeah.
That's very important that we account for every gallon of fuel that goes in it and every mile that's recorded or hour.
How long have you been at the 122nd?
I've been here since 2013 as a DSG, then got on full-time in 2016 as a heavy mobile equipment mechanic first. Then about 3 or 4 years ago, I switched into fleet management and analysis.
Very cool. And you, sir?
I'm Master Sergeant Cameron Bonner. I've been here since 2019. I was a DSG for 2 years, and then I ended up coming full-time in 2021. I joined in 2013 through active duty, and I was a vehicle mechanic from the very beginning. I love vehicle maintenance. It's my bread and butter. It's just something that I get to enjoy coming through every day. But I was stationed at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base for 6 years, and I deployed out of there 3 times during my active duty time. Loved every minute of it. It's a great base. It was a lot of fun. The only reason I really decided to join the Guard was because of my last deployment. I had some great guardsmen from Pittsburgh who really encouraged me to move forward in my career and on this path rather than staying in the active side of things, because I wanted some stability in my family, and my wife and I were talking about a family, and this is a great place to do it. I've got a lot of family here in Indiana and got the support, so it was a great decision.
We're kind of the hidden gem.
Oh, absolutely.
Air National Guard, where people are learning, and we're like, no, we're not sharing our secrets. Thank you both for that. It's so nice to have you guys on today. So overall, just to kick us off, what does vehicle maintenance do? If you were to summarize it to someone in the DFAC and when we're getting lunch, what do you guys do?
I'll go ahead and start. Vehicle maintenance is in charge of maintaining our vehicle fleet. So all of the vehicles around base that you see with an Air Force license plate, they're the ones that we maintain. There are two different types of vehicles. One is GSA, which is a contracted vehicle, and I'll let Sergeant Bumara elaborate on that a little bit more later. Our responsibilities are to ensure that we have a drivable fleet that's going to be able to do the mission that we need to accomplish. So there's a broad variety of maintenance that we do. that we can cover here a little bit, fairly in depth. Our goal is to just make sure that our base is mobile, essentially.
Sure.
So I don't know if you have any.
Yeah. For those of you who like AFI answers and the Air Force jargon.
You know we do.
So if you want an AFI answer, the principles of vehicle management is to use economical, reliable, and up-to-date procedures to authorize, acquire, and account for and maintain vehicles in a safe and serviceable condition throughout their life cycle. That's your AFI answer for the day.
And then you plug all that into a spreadsheet and tell us when we need to do it.
Yes.
Okay.
That's my job. Yeah, I remind people when their vehicles are due for scheduled maintenance, and it kind of answers one of the other questions that people have. We have annual scheduled maintenance, and we have a 3-year scheduled maintenance.
Okay.
Besides whatever breaks in between.
Right.
Yeah, those are required scheduled maintenance.
So when someone needs a vehicle on base, how do they go about getting that? Or what qualifies if they need a vehicle on base? Like maybe I see certain shops or units have vehicles. Are those assigned to them?
Yes.
Okay.
We do have each unit has an authorization for vehicles, and that's based on their mission requirement. Essentially, our goal is to identify what their requirements are, but then our governing body, VISCOS, they are the ones who deem whether or not it's an actual necessity for them to be assigned the vehicles.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking to borrow a vehicle, go TDY somewhere, we have a UDI fleet. That's not us, but Ground Transportation has a fleet. You can sign out a vehicle by talking to your VCO, because every shop or every section has a VCO, and the VCO, he or she need to request that from Ground Transportation. They sign it out. They will explain it to you. The VCO should know. That's you just borrowing the vehicle, take it off base or go to your TDY place, and then you bring it back, then you turn it in to Ground Transportation. But in vehicle maintenance, we provide you the fuel card.
That's the
for
difference.
Fuel, yes.
Okay.
Then also, I want to highlight this. A lot of people tend to forget about this. When you bring back that vehicle to Ground Transportation, they want you to wash it and clean it. And the wash bay is located in Vehicle Maintenance Building, which is Building 798.
That's the requirement. Like, we borrow a vehicle, we need to return it to you how we got it.
Correct. Well, okay. Return it to Ground Transportation and then, yeah, make it, if you can, better. You know,
right.
That's always, yeah, our goal is to improve things as much as possible. So
I just want to point this out also. Ground Transportation is not located in Vehicle Maintenance Building. It's located in Alaris Building,
okay,
which is Building 302.
That's the big difference, too. Don't come bug you guys when we can go to the right people and get it quicker.
No,
right.
That's fine. We'll point you in the right direction. We'll try to save you some time.
There you go. I like it. So you said, like, what qualifies a need. A VCO is a vehicle...
Control official.
Control official, okay.
He or she is basically the liaison between the vehicle maintenance or vehicle management and Ground Transportation and their units.
Gotcha. That helps explain a little bit my knowledge, too. So when you get a government vehicle, where can you go or not go in that vehicle?
Government vehicles or GOVs are for, first of all, for official use only. And we brief that every year at our annual VCO meeting, which is coming up. The VCOs also, in the return, they need to brief their operators or their flights, respective flights, on how to use the GOVs. But if anybody else has a question on how to use it, you don't know how to use a government vehicle, you can stop by anytime or call us. We'll be happy to help you out with that.
I like that VCO annual training you guys get. Is that, are VCOs like an additional duty someone can sign up for if they're interested?
It is. They're appointed by the commanders, and we train them for the first time. We train the VCOs. Then we have a required annual meeting every year. To go back to how you can use a GOV, I was going to give some examples, and there's some basic lines to follow. If you're going to TDY, for example, and you take in a government vehicle, there's some places that you cannot go, like a gambling place or a business that's solely dedicated to selling alcohol. You can stop at a restaurant and get some food. That's fine.
But or do just, like a grocery run or something.
You can do a grocery run. Yes.
Just not the liquor store.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Don't go to the liquor store. Like places that
go to Costco.
Go to Costco. Okay. There you go.
Gotcha. And that was not endorsement by any means for Costco, just so that's clear too.
I like Costco.
So what's your fleet look like? How many vehicles and what's the 122nd fleet look like?
So we have 104 vehicles. I always get that number wrong. It's always 105. 105 vehicles, and it's a wide variety. So you see a lot of what we call our blue fleet, and that is the passenger vehicles. So the standard pickups, the vans, the
light duty
equipment. And then we also have our more heavy equipment, and that's typically referred to as our green fleet, mostly because they're all painted green. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I like the easiness of it.
And green license plates.
And green license plates. That goes along with it too. So that'll be your aircraft equipment, such as the tow tractors that you'll see on the flight line, as well as our construction equipment and our refuelers. Yeah, we're responsible for maintaining those and making sure that they're operational so that they can do their mission and support in the ways that they're supposed to.
So does that include like the jammers people drive, forklifts, when you say construction equipment, is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay.
The jammers are actually AGE's responsibility. Okay. So that's air ground equipment. They're responsible for that smaller equipment you see on the flight lane. We're more responsible for the larger equipment. The forklifts are our responsibility, aircraft tow tractors, and de-icer and refuelers are the ones that are you'll see out there especially.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Do you guys work a lot with AGE? I didn't know there was overlap. That's neat to know.
No, they're separate entity. I mean, we help each other out when we need a bolt from them or they need a bolt from us or something along those lines, but there's not a overlap in terms of the equipment that we work on.
Gotcha. You guys are kind of experts in your own field.
Exactly.
I like it. What kind of maintenance are you doing on these? I mean, when I think of maintenance, I'm going to Costco for tires or something. What kind of maintenance do you guys have to do on these?
Go for it.
Yeah, we in vehicle maintenance, we do accomplish intermediate maintenance, including minor and major repairs. That if we determine that the vehicle needs more repairs that exceed our capabilities, the VFM, in our case, is Chief Scheinman, makes that decision, contracting that out. In our jargon, we say send it downtown. So we will
does it ever
it
come back?
It does come back.
Yes.
Yes. We do, like I said, from intermediate maintenance, major repairs. We obviously, we do preventive maintenance. Like I said earlier, it's done annually and on a three-year interval. We also replace unserviceable components as needed.
I think the main thing that we really need to point out is we're not a lube shop.
Not you know, tire and lube?
No, we do that. We definitely do that, and that's a big part of our job. But our responsibilities go a lot deeper than that. We are in charge of making sure that your check engine light comes on. We do a lot of troubleshooting and in-depth repair research into those types of problems. Now, like Sergeant Bumar was saying, we only have a certain amount of capability, and some of that is based on manufacturer software that we don't have or just tooling that we don't necessarily have available to us. So we'll send it downtown and have them do what they need to do. But it also has a lot to do with time. Where are our priorities at, and how are we going to allocate our personnel to the certain projects that we actually know we can accomplish in a timely manner?
Right.
And is it more efficient to send it downtown? It might not be more cost effective, but it is efficient. And if it's a priority, then we'll get it done in that manner.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys ever consult? I know active duty bases, and maybe you can speak to this too, they have different airman attic type things. And one of them I remember is like a automotive shop where you can kind of tinker on your own cars and stuff. Do you guys ever consult?
Now, we don't have the capability of actually facilitating repairs. Okay. Now, unless you come to my house, but please don't come up to me and ask me for this.
I'll just edit that out.
Yeah. The deal is, at active duty bases, a lot of them, especially the bigger ones, they have what are called self-help. Essentially, you can take your vehicle and they have the tooling available and you can rent a bay for very cheap. I did it when I was an airman in the dorms several times, where I would take my vehicle in, do an oil change on it, change my tires, do something along those lines, because they had lifts, they had tooling and things on that level. A lot of guys, when I was active, would part-time in that shop, and they would offer their assistance through their knowledge. But as far as the 122nd, if you want to come and ask any one of us, I'm sure that knowing the people we have in VM, that they would be very willing to help you.
Yeah, say a shirt's check engine light came on and I can come visit you guys.
Absolutely. Now, again, we won't be able to plug in our scan tool because it's right. a government resource and that's not an authorized use.
Right.
I do know people, I have a scanner and I know people who have scanners and would, at the very least, if you go down to AutoZone and have it scanned, I can help you interpret that code as best as to my abilities.
Good to know. So.
Yes, we do get those phone calls.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We had airmen stop by and
Thank
ask
you for
a
taking
question.
Care of them, yeah. guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's no huge. I've been in that situation. I'm like, oh, what do I do? And they're like, we have a vehicle person somewhere. Let's call them. And I mean, when I was in Warner Robins, and it never failed, and they were so helpful.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear you guys do that too. Like, we leverage that civilian and military experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of that, do you guys, these skills that you guys get, I had the opportunity to talk to some vehicle maintenance airmen at our junior enlisted council last month. They were awesome. I mean, I would love to have that mechanical mindset. I just don't. Do these skills that you guys get translate to the civilian side?
Oh, absolutely. When I got out of active duty, I spent 2 years working as a construction equipment mechanic at McAllister and then RPM for a short period of time. Very transferable and very desired. It's a extremely desired skill set to have. There's a lot of opportunities in the Fort Wayne area, in the Indiana area, because of the sheer amount of trucking that occurs. I mean, Indiana is known as the Crossroads of America, and that crossroads has a lot of vehicles traveling on it.
That's true.
And with the kind of shortage in trades, I know that there are huge opportunities for you to go out and if you don't have the skill set, if you don't have this career field even, and you want to get into mechanics, there are shops who are offering pretty outrageous sums of money to even get you started, so that way they can build up their bench.
Their workforce.
Yeah, their
too,
workforce,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. A very lucrative in terms of the skills that you gain and what's available out there.
And just a solid foundation, right? Like, how long is your tech school?
So our tech school, it's 15 weeks.
Okay.
They are doing some changes right now where it's essentially tying all of us together, FM&A. Just as a background, vehicle maintenance is currently 4 AFSCs, and we're currently in the works to tie those all together. And the 4 AFSCs are FM&A, general purpose mechanic, which is what the majority of mechanics are, or vehicle maintenance is. And then we have our refueling and fire truck mechanics, and then our material handling equipment mechanics. And they're the ones that, especially on heavy bases, work on the 60Ks and 25K loaders that go on the heavy aircraft.
Right.
And then, of course, forklifts and all of that other material handling equipment. They are now tying that together. Essentially, everyone's going to come in as a general purpose mechanic. And then you will go to your schooling to qualify you later on to be a refueling mechanic and to be a material handling equipment mechanic and a FM&A troop. That's where we're going right now.
Just to add to that, if these skills can be used in the civilian side, just my example, I didn't know anything about vehicles or cars before I joined the Air Force and went to vehicle maintenance. After my tech school, seasoning days, mess days, that was the first time I got a real job as a mechanic.
Me too. I'm just now getting a real job.
In the civilian side.
Right.
Before shipping to basic training, I had odd jobs here and there. Mm-hmm. And I had, three or four part-time jobs and just doing odd things. But after that, after tech school, thanks to the Air Force, thanks to vehicle maintenance, I got in a career, actually, rather than just odd jobs.
Right. That's cool. So you come in as general maintenance, you go to your tech school, and then you get to get more education in other areas of vehicle maintenance. It sounds like you guys are kind of going to the multi-capable airmen too, that you can expand upon your general knowledge. Then are those certifications as well?
We don't have any direct certification right now. And that's something that's being worked into the curriculum as well of our tech school. It's, don't quote me on this, but it's in the works to try and get ASE certifications, which is the American Service Excellence certifications, which, again, are huge bonuses when you are looking for jobs in the civilian sector in your passenger vehicle type jobs, essentially. Yeah, it makes you extremely marketable when you have those certifications. And a lot of manufacturers have their own. I know that the training office has availability on paying for that. Obviously, get with Sergeant Bennett if you can tie that to your career field and get those and you want to work on the outside as a mechanic. Typically, it's $2 an hour more if you have at least one ASE certification. It's a huge, huge bump up in your career if you have that on your resume.
Right, especially getting multiple. I mean,
Huge. Yeah, there's a lot available, and it makes you, again, extremely desirable by those companies.
To add to that, most of those tech school classes, they translate to college.
To get like an associate's degree in?
Most of them. But I still need an update myself, but it's been a while since I checked. But yes, most of them were accepted at Ivy Tech, for example. Mm-hmm. If you want to do automotive associate's degree.
The military and civilian sector will talk. That way you can get an associate's in automotive, like sciences or?
It's automotive. It's an associate's degree in vehicle maintenance, essentially. It's the same as having your CCAF, which, of course, we're all working towards through tech school and through
general education.
Yeah, your general education that you have. Even that, when you have your CCAF through vehicle maintenance, it's extremely desirable as well because it shows that you've gone through technical training and you have that knowledge base behind you. If you go in and you have essentially all of your general education and then you go through tech school, and once you submit your request through CCAF to earn that degree, and then you apply for a civilian job at a mechanic shop, and they see, oh, you have an associate's degree in vehicle maintenance. Awesome. Again, that's another $1 to $2 bump up from your base pay that they're going to originally want to pay you because you have that education, because you have that experience. And you can show that on your resume. It's huge.
I think the Air Force going to that CCAF, that Community College of the Air Force, has really helped a lot of people. And then most people don't stop there. You have an opportunity. You can, but you also have that opportunity to blend your civilian college experience with your military experience, get that associate's, and then continue to go on if you want. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great opportunity. A little bit about you guys. What made you guys get into vehicle maintenance?
Myself, I'll start with myself. I was going to Ivy Tech, AMP license on aircraft maintenance, or working on airplanes. Mm-hmm. And I met somebody there who was in the International Guard and told me about it. And one of my teachers was actually Chief Gorman.
No kidding. Shout out to Chief Gorman.
And at the time, I thought it would be a good idea to add to my resume if I joined the Air National Guard. And in my mind, I was going to do aircraft maintenance. But for whatever reason, I ended up in vehicle maintenance. And it's a great mistake.
Yeah, now you have a real job.
Yes, I do.
That's right.
No offense to aircraft maintenance, but I love vehicle maintenance. That's how I ended up there.
Yeah, right person, right place, right time. Yes. And we get you. Nice.
Yep.
What about you?
I have a history of my family being in the military. My grandfather was a aircraft mechanic, and then my dad, he was actually a vehicle mechanic, and ironically enough, he was a vehicle mechanic at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base.
That's hysterical. Yeah. That you got stationed there.
Oh, it was pretty funny. One of my supervisors was actually an airman with my dad around the same exact time he was there. So
makes a big world. Oh, yeah, a little smaller.
Absolutely. Yeah. The funny thing is I didn't go in with the desire to do vehicle maintenance. I went in open mechanical, and I think like most people, you see the aircraft, you hear the loud booms that they make, right, and you're like, I want to do that.
Right.
I want to make that thing go. Yeah. And you know, and that's the pull to the Air Force as a whole. So I went in open mechanical, and I didn't put a single vehicle maintenance related job on my dream sheet, because for those of you who don't know active duty, you go in open and then you put what jobs you want. So I put all aircraft maintenance.
And then you become a cop.
And well, no, think that's open general, and I did not thank goodness I didn't do that. No offense, security forces. It may be a God thing or something along those lines, but I definitely was pleased when I got vehicle maintenance. And I think, of course, my dad was super proud and super excited. And then when he found out I was going to Davis-Monthan, he's like, oh my gosh, that's my old stomping grounds. And so, yeah, it was all really exciting. And again, just like Sergeant Bumaro said, I love vehicle maintenance. I really do. It's a great career choice. It's a great way to... It's fulfilling. I mean, you get to fix something. You get to physically touch something. And at the end of the day, you either completely fixed it or you're completely baffled because you're not sure why it's not
fixed.
Why it's not corrected.
Right.
But it's just those puzzles. And that's something that I've always enjoyed.
Yeah, I agree with you. It took me 19 years to get to the flight line, but that pool was always there, right? Mm-hmm. Every time. If someone was looking to come in to the Air National Guard or join the military, and they have this background already, and they're just curious, what advice would you give them?
Come in with an open mind, because the way things are done on the outside is a little different than the way we do it here.
Sure.
And I mean, I think that can be said with most things that are in the military lifestyle. With that, also come in and be willing to share that knowledge. It's important. If you have a background like that, you know,
you almost get to expand it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and because of the diversity of the vehicles we work on, it does expand your knowledge, because a lot of outside careers, they kind of put you in a box. Thinking about when I was a construction equipment mechanic, I typically worked on skid steers and I worked on bulldozers. And that was kind of my thing. That's what I worked on. And then it wasn't until obviously I had worked on a lot of other things beforehand, but this job specifically gives you so much experience touching all of these different types of vehicles, kind of get to expand your overall knowledge of the way vehicles work and equipment works.
What about you, Wally?
Yeah, it's the same thing. If you have that skill, please join us. If you don't, we'll teach you as well. Like I said, I was not a mechanic before, never worked on cars before except driving them, but the Air Force made me a mechanic, and it's awesome. Yeah, definitely, like Sergeant Bonner said, if you have that skill, come join us with an open mind. And
try it out, or come shadow, or just see what else is it's about. Yeah,
yeah, we have some awesome things. Also, like Sergeant Bonner said, you will get to see some things that you don't usually see in the outside world. You'll get to work, for example, refuelers. I know, see, you don't see a refueler on the road.
Right.
So we get to work on the systems, and it will expand your knowledge.
Yeah.
You will learn a lot of things with this.
Well, again, to both of you, I can't thank you enough for letting your commander give you guys a shout out and then joining us on the podcast. Thank you so much for your time today, for a snapshot of the awesome things you guys are doing on base. Black Snakes, please share the show. You know it. We want this to be the fastest growing military podcast out there, and it's because of people like you. So until next time, storm hell.
This is the official podcast of the 122nd Fighter Wing. Views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the 122nd Fighter Wing, Air National Guard, or United States government. No endorsement of any person or business is ever intended.